Hello, welcome to another episode of the Majesty podcast. We're spilling the Majesty. It's me, Christo Fufas, and who are you?
Hello, I'm Kinsey Schofield. It's not been that long since we recorded a podcast episode, Christo.
We're going to be starting to do these more regularly, aren't we? We made a pact last night, didn't we?
We did. A blood oath.
Blood. It was beautiful. It was absolutely, it was very royal, actually. And of course, I will still now call you. You are the safest Schofield in broadcasting. You're always unwise, but you're never illegal, are you?
I think I secretly love this title. Don't tell Philip.
Yeah, the safest Schofield, the only Schofield in broadcasting now. Now, of course, now today, in Majesty, we're going to be talking about, well, who else? The Duke and Duchess of Moaning Montecito of Sussex, of course. Don't you dare ditch that title as well. They're very particular, aren't they, about making sure that people use their titles, aren't they?
Well, I think you and I actually have in the past joked that they're the Duke and Duchess of Spotify, but I feel like they've lost that title now. I don't think we can call them that anymore.
I mean, I wonder why all of those employees of Spotify absolutely loathe them after there were 200 redundancies at Spotify, because Spotify is not making very much money. Not long after Spotify paid them over, what was it, $20 million for a podcast series, a number of podcast series, which never materialized, and now they've ditched the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, and all those people have been fired. You wouldn't be very happy if you worked at Spotify with them, would you?
I know. We're not going to hate on Spotify because we're actually on Spotify, but.
No, I'm not hating on Spotify, but I think that if you worked at Spotify and you lost your job after they'd forked out a fortune, you
right.
would hate the Duke
right.
and Duchess of Sussex.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody was really disappointed by what came to fruition. And now that I look back, because it's been a few years, now that I look back and see what they managed to secure with no proof that they were capable of executing, it's kind of amazing. I mean, not in a flattering way, it blows your mind that two people that had no resume to prove that they could execute, produce, host a podcast, that they could develop television programs. You know, Megan was an actress on Suits. She wasn't even at the top of the call sheet, but hadn't produced, written anything from start to finish before. Harry is a prince. You know, the fact that they were handed these millions of dollars and what they've executed so far is very little with a lot of help. And they've both been really critical. I guess maybe less so Harry, but Meghan has been vocally critical about the Netflix special and some of these other things. I just think, wow, they really pulled one over on Hollywood.
Well, it's very interesting that Meghan and Harry, they really want to take on those people who are privileged and haven't earned it. Many of the commentators after their Oprah interview said they're going after white privilege. Well, I don't know if I call it white privilege. I think I'd call it shite privilege to be able to get that much money for doing absolutely nothing. That is literally the definition of the word privilege in the dictionary. Next to, like, privilege is being handed stuff that you are not worthy of when you use privilege in that kind of negative content.
Context. Very true.
That is exactly what they are. Imagine being handed that much money for doing, well, barely anything. They did their Christmas special, which sounded, well, I was going to say it sounded like student radio, but actually I used to be in student radio, and there are some very talented young broadcasters in student radio. I don't want to insult student radio, but I mean, it was just diabolical.
Well, first of all, I remember doing one of my very first interviews with BBC, They said, do you think that Harry and Meghan will have a successful podcast? And I said, I do, because it's all about who you know. And they're going to call in their friends like Tyler Perry and Brené Brown. And then their very first Christmas recording, their very first recording for Spotify, guess who was on it? Brené Brown, Tyler Perry, some of the names I'd listed off. You know, and Meghan tried to do that with this Spotify podcast. She tried to utilize bigger names like Mindy Kaling, Paris Hilton, Serena Williams. She did try to elevate herself through some of these bigger personalities. I just don't think that the topic was that interesting. And when it came to the Christmas special, yeah, it just felt really thrown together, not well thought out. I remember like not feeling hopeful or holiday festive after the Christmas special was over, because I definitely listened to it start to finish. There was just
just to clarify, the Christmas special actually depressed you and stopped you feeling like you were in the holiday mood.
Well, there was
that quite the achievement.
The highlight was actually Archie. Remember, Archie came on at the very end and said something sweet, but it just wasn't. You know, Harry and Meghan let everybody else in that special. Harry and Meghan let everybody else do the heavy lifting, and they kind of narrated around it, similar to that Nelson Mandela documentary or series that's on Netflix. I can't remember which, if it's a series or if it's just a movie, but that the Nelson Mandela Foundation had these pre-existing interviews. I believe one was with the Prime Minister of New Zealand, the female. She's no longer the Prime Minister.
Oh, Jacinda Ardern.
Yeah, and she pushed back and said, when I was working on this project, it was not with them. But they came in, grabbed some footage that already existed from the Nelson Mandela Foundation, and then talked around it, and then released, quote unquote, released that as an Archwell production piece for Netflix. But they let, you know, I guess my point is, we saw that report that they only work one day a week. And then you have all of these examples of them letting other people do the heavy lifting, like Meghan having a producer do half her interviews on her podcast.
Did I have to just take a break from recording for this moment, because my husband, thank you, babe, has brought me a vodka and pink grapefruit. And I'm actually now just going to be drinking this.
That's hilarious to me, because it's 9:45 in the morning for me.
Great. I think we should keep this in, by the way. Let's keep
for
that
sure,
in.
For sure, for sure.
I think it's very important that our audience know all the work that goes into this. And ironically, I may be drinking a vodka and tonic, but I know I'm still doing more work on this podcast than Harry and Meghan ever did. And I just want that made clear. Now, what's hilarious about the Nelson Mandela documentary, I mean, presumably in the Nelson Mandela documentary, they spoke to the cast member of The Lion King that told them that their leaving the royal family was similar to Nelson Mandela's fight against apartheid in South Africa. Presumably they had that person on there to interview.
No, we still haven't found that person. That person is still MIA.
I mean, that is what is absolutely hilarious about them. But also, the thing is, I mean, I know that I say it a lot, that we are Majesty. Like my friend Natalie says, you've got to stop saying on this podcast, Majesty, you're spilling the tea. We get it. We get why it's called Majesty. But that is a bit what you want on a podcast. And Meghan's podcast with like Mariah Carey and Serena Williams, I mean, I think there was a warning on it saying don't listen when you're driving, because if you're operating heavy machinery, there's a very big danger that you might pass out unconscious through utter boredom, because there was no tea. The problem is that she isn't obviously a journalist. She isn't a broadcaster. And it was just
Although
a lot about
she did go to
like,
school for it. She did go to school for it. Meghan did.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she went to school for journalism. So, and you know, she always wanted to be a host. Before she started dating Harry, she was meeting with agents out in the UK because she wanted her own cooking show. So being a host has always been, or being on in front of the camera in a personality capacity has always been something that's of interest to her.
The list of schools that Thomas Markle paid for her is endless. There's always a new one every week.
But I think that That's why they, I should say, worked so hard to secure all of those, plastic participation trophies that she walked around and accepted for a year for archetypes, because clearly the audience wasn't there, or Spotify wouldn't have terminated this relationship. And nobody, I've not met anybody that sincerely liked the program or found there to be value in it. And the fact of the matter is, I live in Los Angeles, California. You can buy as many trophies as you want here. You can. You know the right people, you donate to the right causes, and you get to step on a stage and say, thank you, thank you. I can hardly believe it. And
Including an award fighting racism, which they then went on to deny existed in the royal family after they'd accepted an award for their fight against it, which
so
is
bizarre. So bizarre.
quite interesting. It's like accepting an Oscar and then afterwards, a week later, saying, "Oh, by the way, I wasn't in the movie.
Yeah.
I wasn't even there. Sorry, but by accident. You know, just didn't no one ask. Didn't no one find out." But that's actually precisely what happened. Oh, and the other thing, sorry, before we get on to the other thing I wanted to discuss, did you see what Andy Cohen, the guy behind the
Bravo.
Real Housewives series, said about the podcast? Because he was on one of them, and he said that the conversation that he had with Meghan was really quite dull during the podcast. And then in the introduction, which she voiced later, which, she was quite used to voicing parts of that podcast later because, a lot of the interviews were done by other people. She then started going on about how he created the Real Housewives, how she wasn't sure that that was really good for women, those sorts of series. And he has since said, "Why on earth didn't she ask me about that in the podcast? Why introduce it when I'm not there and talk about something that's actually quite interesting? What contribution to feminism do the Real Housewives of Atlanta and Beverly Hills make?" But instead, she did it when he wasn't there and then just went on and had the really dull conversation with him.
And that, yeah, like that, he felt like she kind of pulled one over on him. But, I think she was trying to save face because she knew that she was trying to have a conversation about uplifting women and feminism. And that show doesn't necessarily feel like that. But she needed Bravo's Andy Cohen to try to get a boost in the ratings.
Well, I don't think it works because, as you have just alluded to, had this been making money, a pound to a pinch of the proverbial, I can actually say it on here, can't I? Can I swear a little bit,
Yeah,
moderately?
go live your
A
best
pound to a
life.
pinch of, a pound to a pinch of shit. I'm telling you now, if this was making money, Spotify would be all over another series. They'll be throwing dollars at them. But of course, this commercial partnership has now ended.
Yes, it has. And
It's
then,
the
so
end.
we had Bill Simmons, which everybody's familiar with this story. So, everybody already knows this story. But we had Bill Simmons, who's a Spotify executive. He specifically works in the content development around sports. He spoke to Prince Harry at one point over Zoom about some ideas that Harry had. He says, get him drunk. He'll give you more details on that. But he called Harry and Meghan effing grifters, said they were lazy. And it's actually Bloomberg that got a hold of some of Harry's concepts, which is a very respectable outlet here in the States. And some of Harry's concepts for a podcast were to talk to, significant leaders in the world about their upbringing and their childhood. He wanted to talk to Donald Trump, Vladimir Zelensky, Putin. Crazy. I mean, remember him and Meghan refused to see Donald Trump when Trump was in the UK to see the Queen. And Donald Trump holds a grudge. Do you really think Donald Trump's going to be like, yeah, let me hop on your Spotify podcast? He also wanted to talk about religion. He wanted to interview the Pope. But some he wanted to talk to Mark Zuckerberg. A really bizarre concept.
But also, just talk about someone who is just not remotely in the realms of reality. Like, let's call Putin and Zelensky. Hey, let's do them together. That would work. Why don't the three of us have a sit down? Like Putin's gonna go, "Yeah, okay, I'll go and have a little chat with Prince Harry about my childhood."
Well, this is the same guy that took a took a call from Greta Thunberg in Canada, and sat there and enjoyed a nice little exchange with Greta Thunberg, not realizing he was being live streamed on a YouTube
he was
prank
being
show.
pranked.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny. That is absolutely hilarious. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, they could have, to be honest, and I've always said this, and I do say this with love towards Prince Harry, but he is thick as two short planks. He is not a bright individual. He's not smart. I mean, how on earth he managed to get into university or anything like that when I think he got an E in art. And as I say, you need to be very careful when you say that Harry got an E, because you could be talking about his days clubbing. But he would have probably, if you just handed him anyone, just got an actor playing Putin, he wouldn't have known the difference.
Yeah.
Get David Hasselhoff to play Zelensky, he wouldn't know.
Well, there was a wall somewhere, Christo, because these are the concepts that were thrown out. I'd love to know if those were the same ideas that Bill Simmons was alluding to when he said his conversation with Harry left a lot to be desired. But there's a wall up somewhere, because we got no original content from Harry. And I do wonder how Spotify felt about that when he was going on Dax Shepard's armchair, I think it's armchair quarterback or something like that. But he went on a couple of several other podcasts to talk about mental health and to talk about growing up.
How annoyed would you be if you were Spotify that every single thing that got headlines was either the Netflix documentary or Spare?
Right.
And they said nothing for Spotify.
Or other podcasts. Like, because he was critical of Charles in some way on Dax Shepard's, talked about childhood trauma on Dax Shepard's podcast. Mm. So he did do other podcasts where he opened up and got headlines and sent traffic somewhere else. But I am sure that Spotify thought, well, we didn't get anything that we needed or we wanted from them. So these all of these big ideas, and my whole thing has been, why don't you just interview people that you work with through all of these charities that Archwell is supposedly working with? Why don't you use this platform to build up these charities, even if you aren't cutting the major checks? Giving them this type of platform, asking them the right questions. It's almost, I just feel like they don't have a strong enough team around them, or they're so stubborn that they don't realize.
They're not smart, like I said, because if you've been given 20 million by a platform, and you've got some tea to spill, you've got some gripes about your family, I mean, the smart side of you would say, right, well, I would like another 20 million down the line. So, you know what? I'm going to give them some of this. I'm going to hold back some of what went into Spare, and I'm going to do Spare the podcast. And I'm going to elaborate on some of the chapters that I wrote in Spare.
Oh my gosh, that would have been genius. That would have, what a cool way to cross promote your book. And then you don't have to sit down with Anderson Cooper. And then you don't have to sit down with Tom Bradby. I mean, it didn't matter, because he didn't tell them anything. They didn't challenge him on anything. So they weren't even, really good interviews. But, that would have been a really interesting way to cross promote.
You could have had at each episode of the podcast could have been a chapter of Spare. And it would have been the background around that chapter. You could have even done it with the ghostwriter. What bits did they leave out? Because apparently it was twice as long. I mean, that is a podcast series in itself. It's there. You've got the source material. It wouldn't have taken them long. And it would have given Spare cross-promotion. It would have made Spotify happy that they were riding on the back of Spare. So you're right. They're either not being advised very easily, or they're just as thick as two short planks, or they're stubborn, or a mixture of all three. But before we go, there is some good news.
Okay.
Because they are trying to rebuild their reputation. Now, are you planning any sort of event anytime soon? Kinsey birthday or party or anything along those lines?
Quinceañera, yeah.
Well, would you like Meghan or Harry to be speakers at that? Because they are now part of the speaker booking agency, and you can get them to come along and speak about various things after dinner. Now, their price range, and I know you'll be able to afford this, about $100,000 or more, it says. And Prince Harry, you can get him to comment on as a political commentator. Now, again, how thick do you have to be that you put yourself in the category of a political commentator when, as a member of the royal family, which of course he still is, you're actually not allowed to commentate on politics?
He
That's the
does.
category
He
he's in.
still does, though. He's trying to change the laws over here when it comes to social media, and he's complained about the First Amendment. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that he's doing that, but I have a feeling that he wants to stay in the tech space when it comes to politics. I have a feeling he probably thinks or, promotes that his specialty is privacy online or what content people share online. So, I don't. I'm not necessarily surprised by that. I'll be more surprised if they find somebody willing to pay that price. We've seen him talk it better up, and I've always thought he was going to go the speaker route because I thought that that was, minimal work for a huge payout. I do worry about him though because he seems to panic when he's around in a room with a lot of people. So hopefully he's working that out. But I've always thought he was going to go the speaker route.
Okay, maybe political commentary then wouldn't be a specialty. How about the other specialty that he can do a speech on? Foreign policy. I
Oh.
mean, who in their right mind would think, well, there are real geopolitical issues at the moment. We've got the balance of power with Ukraine and Russia. We've also had the turmoil in the Middle East. We've got the energy crisis and the foreign policy implications there.
Well,
Oh, Prince
he's
Harry.
friends with both Putin and Vlad, so maybe he knows something we don't.
Get them both in a room, get them on archetypes. Yeah, he'll do foreign policy. He'll do celebrity headliners. So he will do the trash and humanitarians as well. So that's what you can get him to do. Meghan, celebrity headliners, women's speakers, actors and actresses, and again, humanitarian as well. And she also charges $100,000 or more.
Wow. I think probably just prefer to like relaunch the TIG so that she can just get paid $100,000 for a post about fingernail polish.
I think I would just prefer to gouge out my own eardrums than listen to them banging on about their ideas for humanity. Probably less stressful than listening to them banging on about their own terrible problems and how awful their lives are and how awful things have been for themselves as they sit in a mansion with 11 bathrooms, but still, not something I would pay $100,000 for.
Yeah, I don't think we're their demo, Christo. I don't know who is, but I don't think it's us.
I don't think we are either, but you know what? I would pay $100,000 to have this conversation with you every week, Kinsey, and we are going to be back again next week. Where, well, what are we talking about next week?
We're going to talk about Prince William. We're going to give Prince William some love.
Okay, well, love to Prince William, love, of course, as always, to Ngozi Fulani as well. We've not heard much from her lately, but I'm sure that will change. So, my apologies to her, as always, as we always like to give. And this is goodbye from London.
Goodbye from LA.
See you next week. Oh, and send us an email. What's the email address?
Majestypodcast@gmail.com.
Okay. See you next time.
Oh, wait, we should come back. We should come back for really quickly. Wait, Andy Cohen jumped to Meghan Markle's defense after it was claimed that she didn't conduct her own interviews on her newly axed podcast. Well, we know she did the celebrity interviews. He said, "Of
Yeah,
course, I
we
spoke
did.
with
We didn't.
Markle."
We didn't say that she didn't. We just said that in the intro,
Yeah, I
she.
know. I'm just saying that's interesting that he's come out to defend her. That's an insane rumor. Her podcast is Conversations with People. Yeah, she did do some of them, but she didn't do all of them, Andy. That's the point we're trying to make, that her producers interviewed the not A-listers and Megan interviewed
Yeah.
all the A-listers.
It's
Oh,
the
it's so funny.
experts and stuff that the people who didn't further Megan's agenda, she didn't interview, but the celeb, she was right in there.
Oh my gosh. Okay, thanks for nothing, Andy Cohen.